Hey, I'm Rob Berger. When I'm not rolling in the dough, that's right, I'm stacking Benjamins.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Stacking Benjamin Show. Hey there, money fans, and happy first day of spring. If it's your first time here, welcome to Joe's Mom's Basement, where we make this finely tuned, completely satisfaction guaranteed or your money back podcast. On today's big show, please help us welcome guests from two of the biggest credit unions in the country and one from the biggest credit union servicing company. From Navy Federal, please welcome Senior Vice President of Membership, Katie Miller. Joining her, welcome the CEO of Alliant Credit Union, Dave Mooney, and the Director of Product Development at Co-op Financial Services, Michelle Thornton. But it's not all credit union talk. We'll still save time for some headlines, answer your letters, throw out the Haven Lifeline, and chase it all down with the best part of the show, my trivia. Now, welcome two guys who think spring cleaning is the designated time of the year to take a shower, Joe and O-J-J-J-J-G.
Isn't that what daylight savings time is?
Yeah, you change your shower once every 6 months. That's what that's.
Hey, everybody, I'm Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. Welcome back. Happy Monday. OG, have a great weekend.
Fantastic weekend. Are you kidding me? Basketball.
All basketball, weekend long.
Basketball. Basketball.
Isn't that the best 4 days in sports?
And St. Patty's Day in there.
Yeah.
A little golf. I'm finishing up spring break.
Yeah.
It's the trifecta. Coming out of the haze.
Everybody in the Northeast getting pounded by snow and you're out golfing.
Well, I mean.
You know what else you did this weekend, OG? I know you headed to StackyBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney. Because when you go to Magnify Money, you know what you find? You find that that checking account you have, not so much. That savings account, wah, wah. And those debt products, probably not an overall strategy. What's cool is you no longer have to go to separate banks to compare. You don't even have to check the newspaper. Remember when you check the newspaper for all the different rates? Don't have to do that. You don't have to even go to five different websites because you can go to one. A Reddit user recently said that Magnify Money has over 92% of the products that are available. And the number two site, the loser number two site, less than 65% of the stuff available. So if it's time for you to get on your financial horse and do a better job, StackyBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney. Think Nick would like that. Get on your financial horse. Is that good? Get on get on your financial horse and what the heck is that? Ride it all the way to, is that a sheep?
Said nay. Isn't that what horses do?
Maybe. What does the horse say? Head to StackyBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney.
If you knew how many of those toys I have in my living room right now. What does the sheep say? What does a horse say?
And when the kids come by, you're like, get away from my toys, kids. And then, you know, when you're at Magnify Money, what you'll find is that the number one place when it comes to student loans, the leader in marketplace lending is SoFi, spelled S-O-F-I. Over 225,000 people have refinanced debt with SoFi. SoFi helps you finance your regular student loans, those parent loans, plus loans. They funded over, get this number, $15 billion with a B dollars in loans to date, and they've saved members over $1.45 billion. Our friend Dan Macklin at SoFi tells us it only takes a few minutes to find out how you can work with SoFi. So what are you waiting for? StackyBenjamins.com/SOFI. They don't only handle student loans, OG, guess what? There's also personal loans and mortgages, and they're giving you $100 if you use our link for your personal loan or student loan, StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi. Use that $100 toward the interest on the loan or send it to your favorite podcaster. And one of those options is probably a good idea. They should send us $100, OG, because we're talking credit unions today. And you know, we often in passing say, check out your credit union, but we never really dig into how credit unions are different than banks, why people want to belong to a credit union, which I think is maybe the best idea ever, and all the great stuff they do. So we've got representatives from three different credit unions and credit union companies coming down to the basement. How about that?
Love me some credit unions.
It's going to be fantastic. But first, we've got some amazing headlines, so let's get into it.
Hello, darlings. And now, it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's Headlines.
First headline today comes to us from Investopedia. This is going to surprise some people. Written by Tim Parker, it says, why retiring on 70% of your income might be tough. Mr. Parker says, you may have seen this rule of retirement planning in numerous places. Save enough to live on 70% of your income. Significant number of financial planners and respected retirement experts use this benchmark too. But is it accurate? After you retire, can you really live on 70% of what you're making now? And he goes into the fact that he doesn't think that you can. That 70% might be a number that's too low. Where do you come down on that, OG? 70% a good number?
I never use the percentages kind of rules of thumb. The way that we do it is we break down your income into four different buckets. One of those buckets is lifestyle expenses. And so that's the number that we try to replicate in retirement, because in reality, you know, that's the number that's not going to move very much.
Yeah, it's funny. You get to the bottom line of his piece and he says, as with anything, the more people you ask, the more opinions you're going to get. He says, instead of listening to the voices, try this experiment. If you're currently living paycheck to paycheck, try living on 30% less for the next 6 months. If, on the other hand, you have money left over each month, figure out how much more you'd need to save to bring your living expenses down to 70% of what you spend now minus any costs. Actually, doing the math for yourself, exactly what you're saying.
Building a plan specific to you.
Not that hard.
Yeah.
Not that hard. But he does say that medical expenses are going to go up. And for a lot of people, that's a huge problem.
That's a big number. That's a real big number.
And to his point about living paycheck to paycheck, and he talks about the huge number of Americans living paycheck to paycheck. If you're living paycheck to paycheck right now, how are you going to cut? There's going to be...
Yeah, where do you lop off 30%? Although, to be fair, like we've talked about before, money expands into what you allow it to, right? We've talked about that repeatedly over the last month or so. But if you're right against, you know, your living expenses, like you said, paycheck to paycheck, are you going to lop off 20-30%?
You know, I like that point that Sarah Lee Kane made about budgets when she came on last Wednesday, when she talked about the fact that you save what you need to save. If you take this approach, I save exactly what I need to save, and then I live on the rest, I'm going to do a much better job. Even if I don't use spreadsheets every day, right? Even if I don't have a dollar-by-dollar budget, I don't have a zero-sum budget, I just say, I need to save X amount of money, and then the rest takes care of itself. She said that works for so many people. And David Chilton, the big financial planner up in Canada, says that, you know, he says budgets are baloney. You do what you have to do. And I think if we took this save first approach, living on 70% later on would be, you know, not that difficult.
Well, if you can save 30% of your income, you should probably be saving 30% of your income. You know, like if you can go from 100% to 70% and you don't feel a pinch, you should just do that right now and save that 30% of your income.
He talks about,
and then you can live on 100% of your income.
Yeah. He talks about some things that do go down. Taxes will go down. Obviously, work related costs will go down for a lot of people. I know when they retired, even though their travel expenses went up largely for a lot of people, you know, travel to and from work every day ate up a bunch of money for some people. And then also just work clothing, you know?
Well, the biggest buckets that I see people saving money on are their savings right now. A lot of times people look at their income as a gross income and say, well, I make, you know, $8,000 a month. I need to replace $8,000 a month. Well, that's not true. In retirement, you know, of that $8,000 right now, some of that's going to debt service, which maybe is paid off by the time you're retired. Maybe some of that is going to savings, like 401k plans and that sort of thing. You probably aren't going to have too much of that when you're retired. In pre-retirement, you earn money, pay taxes, and spend what's left. In retirement, you spend money, and then you pay taxes on where you took the money from. So that's a function of your spending. So a lot of times that number is a lot less too. So that's why we really focus in on that. What's that lifestyle cost number? Because those other three are functions of that lifestyle number as opposed to the other way around.
Another reason to just do the plan based on your life.
Do your own plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah. And it's not that hard. I mean, it really is not that difficult. And our second headline comes to us from the Huffington Post. It's written by Tina Mulqueen. She's the chief marketing officer of Gray Cloak Technologies. How the on-demand economy is improving our experience with death and taxes. This is interesting because we talk about all the time on our FreshBooks FinTech segment, OG, about how FinTech is helping out in the area of investing, getting more money saved, but also in the area of death and taxes, two things that we don't really think about. the fintech world, it's really coming to bear there. And I know they don't call it fintech specifically. I was talking to somebody the other day who's actually in that business. She's a writer that we're trying to get on the show. And she was talking about, I don't know anything about fintech, but I know about insurtech. And I'm like, insurtech? Like, there's these new terms for everything. Miss Mulqueen says here, most of us are familiar with the infamous Ben Franklin quote, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." Love a good Ben Franklin quote on this show. The more the 200-year-old sentiment rings true to date, and both subjects provoke the same ominous feelings as they did centuries ago, except briefly in the aftermath of Meet Joe Black, when death conjured images of Brad Pitt.
I like that movie.
I barely remember it. I remember being kind of bored. I don't know. There's not much more anxiety-provoking than the thought of our mortality or a phone call from the IRS. Fortunately for us, technology is shaping the future of death and taxes. And of course, they start off with, and this was neat, of course, in the area of death, they immediately go to Haven Life. They immediately go to checkout online. And Jerome Benzie is quoted in the piece. He is the CEO of Haven Life. Says, particularly within the life insurance industry, launching an algorithmic underwriting platform gives insurers the ability to not only drastically improve the customer's purchasing experience, but to also, and I think this is the key, reduce error and cost to issuing a policy. And you and I have seen a lot of error and cost when it's come to different types of insurance lately, especially long-term care.
Well, we had one not too long ago. A client was trying to get some insurance and they issued the policy with the wrong last name.
Does the name have to match what's on the death certificate?
You know, just a minor error. But it took like another, you know, took another 4 weeks to get it fixed. It was annoying.
They go into artificial intelligence and cloud accounting are changing the roles of accountants. Progressive accountants are now more virtual CFOs than number crunchers. The numbers all being done in the background. And the algorithm knows where to look for the most likely problems on your return based on past things that you've done. And now the accountant's job is to make all that work together. It's fantastic to see how technology is impacting every corner of the financial universe now.
Super cool. Yep. Got to use your computers. Got to get on their internets.
A company called TaxBuzz uses technology to analyze and rank the best tax and accounting professionals. A matchmaker for taxpayers and tax professionals is like a dating site for keeping your money straight.
That's kind of weird.
That is kind of weird. That's strange. But it says the demand for these types of services is undeniable. In 2016, TaxBuzz's website had 1.23 million unique visitors and was named Best Accounting Blog of 2016 by Fit Small Business. Best Accounting Blog 2016, and it's all about robots.
Somebody stuffed the ballot box.
You should have seen on the movie Logan, which I may or may not have someplace said that I didn't love that movie very much. They're driving down the road, but it's a little ways in the future, not a long way in the future, but a little ways in the future. And there's self-driving trucks all over the world. And as they're driving down the highway, like they don't even call attention to it. They're just driving down the road and there's these trucks and there's no truck driver. You can see that coming now with self-driving cars.
I don't know. It's kind of weird because I think that with that, they've decided that they'd be way safer than humans, but humans don't want to give up the control.
I don't know about any of that, but I'll tell you what, the computers are coming for us. Accountants, the computers are coming for your job. Life insurance underwriters, computers coming for your job.
Yep.
Yeah. So the lesson, I think, number one is if you're not using automation and technology for death, taxes, investing, whatever, you got to listen to our FreshBook Friday FinTech segment because there's so many companies doing awesome work in those areas. Time to jump on board. And number two, and I think the much bigger thing, why use a rule of thumb like 70% OG when you can actually do the financial plan?
Make your own plan.
Oh, we're going to be juggling the phone lines here on My Dad Shortwave in a second because we've got some of the best minds in the area of credit unions coming to the show today. If you're not in a credit union, don't think you know what you're missing. I think a lot of people think credit unions, oh, those are little boutique shops. Well, people we're talking to,
not so much anymore.
Ain't no boutique shop. And we're about to talk to three of the biggest players in credit unions. So let's walk over to My Dad Shortwave and we'll introduce them to you. outside. Let's walk over to my dad's shortwave. And man, I'm excited about today. We've never tried this before, but we're going to get people from some of the biggest credit unions and credit union companies around the nation to tell us what credit unions are all about. And I'd like to start off with the gentleman whose company started in 1935 as United Airlines Credit Union. Today, I believe they're the seventh largest credit union in the USA. On my dad's shortwave, I think we got Dave Mooney, CEO of Alliant Credit Union.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hey, good. Glad you could join us, man. Am I right? Did you guys really start off as the United Airlines Credit Union?
We did. We started, and for 68 years, we exclusively served United Airlines employees and their family members. We're now diversified and serve about 100 active companies, including Google, Kaiser Permanente, and a number of other mid-sized and large employers.
Well, I'm glad you could join us, but I'll tell you, our next guest, her company, Dave, in 1935 is nothing to scoff at, but her company is 2 years older than yours. So she's got
you. Well.
And starting in 1933, they serve over 6 million members, I believe. We have Katie Miller, Senior Vice President of Membership at Navy Federal with us.
Hi, Joe.
I'm so glad you could be here, Katie. Thanks for joining. Am I right? You guys are 1933?
Absolutely. 1933, we serve the Department of Defense. We've recently expanded to veterans and their family members, and it's almost 7 million members now.
So my dad served in Vietnam, and even though I didn't serve, I went to the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina, but I didn't serve. I could be a member because of my dad?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
I can sign you up later.
Deal. And I'm glad you could join us too. And we've got someone from a different type of company representing Co-op Financial Services. They're a company created by credit unions for credit unions to give them much better reach and to help them combine technology. They represent 3,500 credit unions. The director of product development, we welcome Michelle Thornton to the show. Welcome, Michelle.
Well, thanks, Joe. It's great to be here. You mentioned 3,500 credit unions. We also, through our credit union, serve 60 million members. So we're thrilled to be part of this.
Just one or two people then, huh?
Yeah, just a couple.
That's right. I think between the three of you, man, you represent a lot of people. Well, let's jump into this. And Dave, I think I'll start with you because there's a lot of people out there that don't know anything about what a credit union is. Could you just give us the 101? What is a credit union?
Sure. I mean, very simply, a credit union is a financial cooperative. So it's very much like a bank, very similar to banks in terms of services and methods, with one very important difference, and that is cooperative ownership. So that means it's owned by and operated for the benefit of its members or depositors.
Got it. So when I join a credit union, I own a little piece of the credit union, almost like I own a piece of a stock when I buy a company?
Yes. And it's not necessarily that you have a stock interest in the company, but you are the owner. And most importantly is that the exclusive purpose of the credit union is to serve you as the owner. There's no other reason for existing except to operate for the benefit of the members.
Michelle, how is that different than a bank? Let's kind of do a A-B here. Credit union versus bank. What's the difference?
Well, I think that Dave really explained it well, but one of the things that is really critical, I think, is the involvement in the community. Because credit unions were formed for people and by people, their community involvement and what their motivations are with the community, I think is vastly different than banks. They aren't looking for shareholder value. They're looking for member value.
Which is a big difference because a shareholder might not even bank at that bank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You know, we talk about banks all the time, Katie. We hear about FDIC insurance and about how safe a bank is, right? I mean, even in 2008, when people worried about during the housing crisis or in the 2000-2002 collapse of the stock market, people knew their money at a bank was safe. How do credit unions protect their members?
It's basically the same thing. We have up to $250,000 per account in insurance. So credit unions are regulated by the National Credit Union Administration, the NCOA, the same way that banks are regulated by the SEC. So different regulator, but the same controls because we are full-service financial institutions. And I did want to speak to just one of the things that both Dave and Michelle mentioned, but the way we show that return to our member shareholders is different. So banks are going to take those dividends and they're going to pay them out on the stocks and on the shares.
Right.
But credit unions are going to take it and they're going to expand our services. We're going to build more branches and create better mobile applications. We're going to have higher dividends and lower interest rates on loans and mortgages. So we really have a fantastic value proposition.
Got it.
Yeah, and I would jump in there, Joe, and say, in addition to cooperative ownership and the fact that credit unions exclusively exist to serve their members' interests, there's also a financial advantage to cooperative ownership and credit union membership, and that is that the earnings flow to the members in the form of higher yields on deposits, lower rates on loans, and lower fees, and not to outside shareholders. So at Alliant, we'd like to say that credit unions make money for their members while banks make money from their customers.
Got it. It sounds a lot less predatory when you put it that way.
Yeah. I might also add that, again, on insurance, not only are the coverage levels identical, but the credit union deposit insurance is like FDIC backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government.
When I first toured my first credit union, Katie, I was surprised. That was Michigan State Federal Credit Union. I was got to give a shout out to them and my alma mater, Michigan State. But when I first took a tour, I was amazed by some of the things that credit unions offer. Can you tell us about some of the things that you guys offer at Navy Federal that makes people go, wow, I didn't know you did that?
Oh, absolutely. And this is my favorite talk to have with people because a lot of people think about credit unions and they go, oh, you're so little and cute. We are full service financial institutions. So, for example, Navy Federal has branches around the world. We have a branch in Djibouti, Africa.
Djibouti.
So we go. Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. We go where our members are because it's our purpose to serve them. We have 100% mortgage financing conventional. So we offer VA loans, but we also offer loans to non-military members as well, up to 100% financing with no MI, which is something that nobody in the industry offers. And we're able to offer because we're a credit union. And also because credit unions, we know our members. So people don't just walk in the door for any product and don't just walk up off the street for any product like they would at banks. I mean, I'm 37 years old. I joined when I was 3.
Right.
So I've been a member for 34 years. Navy Federal knows me. And we're able to offer products that are really created for the niche of our specific types of members.
You know, what does that mean? Yeah, go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I was just going to add on to what Katie said. One of the things that is really different between credit unions and banks is that credit unions actually work with each other. So one of the things that co-op is able to bring to the credit union industry is we have what's called shared branches. This is not done in banks. And what it means is that one of Dave's members could actually go to Katie's branch and do all the business that they do, and that's facilitated through co-op. So we share across the industry. So it's not just branches in Africa. There's 5,400 branches connected throughout the country.
So people think, as an example, that I've got a bank at Chase or I have to bank at Bank of America to get that nationwide exposure. What you're saying, Michelle, is not necessarily so. You can get that nationwide exposure through a credit union.
Exactly. It's very cool.
Let me give you an example, Joe. Through that kind of sharing, Alliant gives our members access to 80,000 ATMs throughout the country. That's more than Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo combined.
Combined.
And those are surcharge-free, surcharge-free ATMs.
But the big question for you, Dave, is do you have a branch in Djibouti?
We don't, but I wouldn't be surprised, given our history, that we wouldn't have members who pass through Djibouti.
Right. I bet you do. Right. Awesome. Well, and actually, Dave, let's stick with you for a second. What are some of the things that people get surprised about Alliant when they walk in the door?
Yeah. And like Katie, I'm really happy you asked that question, because one of my peeves is a common perception, often repeated by journalists, that credit unions are more limited than banks in the products and services that they offer. And that is categorically not true. In general, there's no discernible difference between banks and credit unions in terms of products, services, and capabilities. So at Alliant, we offer a full lineup of checking, savings, certificates, IRAs, health savings accounts. We make residential and consumer real estate loans, auto loans. Alliant is actually the largest lender to Tesla buyers in the country. And we make unsecured loans and issue credit cards. We also provide retirement and investment services, insurance services. And importantly, we offer state-of-the-art online and mobile banking services. So Alliant introduced mobile check deposit before almost all of the big banks in the U.S. did.
And Michelle, I want to pivot to you for a second, because what Dave's talking about technology, I think for co-op, that's something that surprises people too, isn't it? Is that because you guys are big into technology.
We are big into technology. I mean, a good example of this is we have a product that's called CardNav, but we have a product that allows members to be able to control their cards. We were the first in the market with this. The big banks are just starting to get into this, but our credit unions can give their members this mobile app built into their mobile banking where they can turn the card on or off. The thing that I love is what I call follow me. So the transaction will only be approved if my phone is with me, because my phone is always with me. If it's a transaction where my phone isn't there, it's not me.
Wow.
So that's the kind of, that's the kind of technology we provide to our credit unions. So again, we're not small little credit unions that can't compete with banks. Not at all.
I had it drilled into my head, Katie, when I became a financial planner, that if I had a client that was looking for a loan, and I don't know why, but everyone said, especially a car loan, that I should make sure that I ask my credit union. Is that still true, that credit union loans for cars are generally less than other places?
Absolutely. And that's the type of thing where if you're a savvy buyer, they always offer either a rebate or a 0% interest. And so we'll do that math for you. You'll walk in there, you'll call Navy Federal, and this happens all the time, to be honest. We'll say, okay, what rebate are they offering you? And you could say, great, take the rebate and we'll get you the super low auto loan rate. And we do our auto loans in, I think it's an average of 8 minutes that we can get you an auto loan. You can do things via your phone. We can make sure that it, you know, pops right into the account. I mean, all of the services that we have are exceptional. I did want to say one thing though, from a just general population, people need savings and checking accounts. One of the things that credit unions and absolutely Navy Federal has available are savings and checking accounts that have interest on them,
which you almost always don't find.
Yeah, and checking accounts that are free as well. And we actually also have rebates for the ATMs, but like Dave mentioned, you know, there's ATMs around the country that you can use surcharge-free as well.
Well, there's this big problem we've heard, Dave, in the media a lot lately, which has been the problem of people unbanked. And I know that you guys go out into the community and work on that too. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that credit unions actually are well known for, or should be at least, is really trying to extend availability and access of banking services to a broad marketplace. And one of the things we do at Alliant, we have a lot of relationships with employers. We have a financial fitness checkup that we offer to all employees of an employer that we do business with, whether they have an account relationship with Alliant or not, and then try to use that to help educate them about their financial status and their financial well-being and help them improve that. Similarly, we have programs in the community promoting financial literacy, and we partner with schools, and our volunteer instructors go into the schools and teach basic personal financial management methods. And so a lot of things that credit unions are doing to try to promote not only good practices and outcomes, but also provide access.
Michelle, I want to ask you about something, which is, I know for people I know that are affiliated with credit unions, that sometimes there's nails on a chalkboard thing. Katie, I think, mentioned one earlier, which was the fact that, oh, you're, you know, this cute little thing with these limited services. Not true at all. What's the nails on the chalkboard thing for you, Michelle, that people say about credit unions that's totally not true?
Boy, that's a good one, because I would say the same thing that Katie said, that people think that credit unions are too small and can't offer the services that the big banks do. So I think from our perspective, what we're trying to do is help the industry talk about what we do, certainly the progressive part of it, but also I think the community part of it. I mean, we are cooperatives, and what we do in and for the community is really unique. And given what people are looking for, they're looking for mission-driven organizations. That is absolutely credit unions, because everything we do is for our members.
I think that's a great place for us to leave it. Actually, I've got five bajillion more questions for all of you, but I'm out of time, unfortunately. But I know you all have exciting things going on in your businesses, and I want to ask about those. So, Michelle, let's start with you. Thank you so much for joining us, and tell us about something exciting that's happening at Co-op Financial.
Well, probably the thing that is the most exciting is our machine learning artificial intelligence that Wow. we are installing to help fight fraud. So it's pretty cool stuff. It's the stuff astronauts use, and we're installing this on behalf of our credit unions to better fight those fraudsters.
That is amazing. Staying a step ahead of them, I'm sure, is just a bear.
It is.
Yeah, that's horrible. Well, thank you for joining us. Katie, what's happening that's exciting at Navy Federal right now?
Well, I mentioned it a little bit at the beginning, but NCUA recently expanded their field of membership, which allowed Navy Federal to admit all veterans and their family members to our source of membership. So that happened on February 6th. We are open for business with 296 branches, like I mentioned, around the world and a 24/7 call center. So we're excited for people to come and see our ads and take advantage of our fantastic products and services.
I'm just excited, Katie, the next time I'm in Djibouti, or the first time I'm in Djibouti.
Come visit us.
That's right. Stop by and say hi. Thanks a ton for joining us. Dave, what's happening at Alliant that you're excited about right now?
Well, a couple of months ago, rolled out a new mobile app that we'd been working on for some time. And we've got 4-star ratings on that app. And Financial Brand recently featured us as one of their 19 awesome mobile apps. So we're continuing to work on that and to enhance the online and mobile experience for our members, given that we have, not unlike Navy Federal, we have a national and even global membership. So we're trying to improve the time and place utility and the experience that we can deliver.
And everyone, if you're driving in your car or you're out walking the dog, you know what? I'll have links to Navy Federal, Alliant, and to Co-op on our show notes page at stackybenjamins.com. Guys, thank you a ton for the time. I really appreciate you hanging out with us.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for joining. Pleasure.
Hello, trivia nerds. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and what an inspiring discussion about credit unions, huh? And all this time, I thought credit unions were the place I'd go to take credit for stuff. Like the fact that I rescued Joe's mom's neighbor Janice's cat. Or that time I told that newspaper dude that I'd saved a drowning man by encouraging him to climb out of the swimming pool. I guess there's two different types of credit unions, huh? So let's get on to today's credit union-themed trivia. When and where were the first credit unions created? I'll have the answer in just a moment.
I'm so thankful we have two great sponsors for the Stacking Benjamins podcast. Our first one is Magnify Money. They've been a longtime sponsor of our show, as many of you know. And if you head to stackingbenjamins.com/Magnify Money, like many of you have, you'll know why. And what I love about them is that Nick Clements, the CEO at Magnify Money, tells people that you can use the surfing strategy. You surf down to a 0% interest rate. And then when your interest rate starts to come back up, you surf to a different card. Nick Clements says that's a great strategy, but it also has some pitfalls.
It's painful if you stay around when the promotional period is over, but it's actually really, really easy to move the debt when you're done. So it's more laziness that gets people stuck in the balance transfer than anything else. Banks are betting on laziness.
That's a tagline right there. So whether you're comparing your checking account, savings account, or your credit cards, head to stackingbenjamins.com and surf safely. Don't be lazy. And here's a transition. How about this? First time I heard about SoFi, our other sponsor, was from Nick. Nick, who you just heard from MagnifyMoney.com. And the reason was, he said the SoFi was awesome. So I looked into him, and guess what? Not only were they awesome, they decided to become our sponsor. I asked Dan Macklin how hard the process is when it comes to getting a loan from SoFi.
It's really easy. You go to SoFi.com and apply. It takes about 10 minutes. We ask for a few pieces of information, and then we will approve you or not approve you instantly in the vast majority of cases. So within 10 minutes, you'll know if you have a rate, what that rate is, and we'll show you calculations as to how much money you can save. So it's extremely quick and simple.
Easy process, great people. and Nick at Magnify Money loves them. How great's that? Head to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi, S-O-F-I, and that'll tell Dan and the team over there at SoFi that we sent you. And if the sponsor ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right?
Hey, welcome back, trivia fans. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, back with your amazing trivia answer. Before the break, I asked about when and where the first credit unions were created. The answer? Well, the first official credit unions were founded in Germany in 1849 to save poor urban workers from resorting to loan sharks for financial help. It's kind of like here in the basement, where we all band together and pretend we're busy when Joe's mom needs windows washed. I get the concept. See ya.
Oh boy.
Sometimes Doug doesn't know his own power.
He's got some pretty powerful hands.
He's such a helper.
It drives me crazy. I have no idea what the hell that guy's doing on the show, but all right. Hey, big thanks to our friends from the credit unions. How do you think they like being followed up by that? Well, classy with a capital K right there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But thank you to all those people. It was fantastic how everybody, came together and worked together to make that segment happen. You've no idea, OG, how behind the scenes it took a lot of people pulling together to make that segment work. So very, very pleased that everybody could do it. Hey, let's throw out the Haven Lifeline, tackle some of life's, or rather life insurance's most important questions. Our friends over at Haven Life Insurance Agency, they're disrupting the life insurance industry by focusing on those two things that you value most, your family and your time. They were the first life insurance startup that's also backed by industry giant MassMutual, by the way, to create a high-quality, affordable term life insurance policy that you can purchase entirely online. And qualified, healthy applicants can even skip the medical exam. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/HavenLife now to get a free quote and to learn about insurance the modern way. That's stackingbenjamins.com/HavenLife. It was only September of last year that they actually announced that new instant term. We were talking earlier about technology and how fast technology is moving, OG. Now it seems like, why isn't everybody doing that? I just think, how come the whole industry is not doing that? But it was September that happened, not even a year ago. It's pretty amazing.
They're killing
stuff.
It.
Yeah. Yep. Our lifeline today, we're throwing out to our friend who's been on the show a couple times, our friend Second Timothy.
Hello, Joe. This is Second Timothy, and I've been a listener since the early days of Two Guys and Your Money. I have a question everyone wants to ask. Who is OG really? But I know you will never answer that, so I will answer it here for all Stacking Benjamin fans. And I will offer three proofs. OG is really Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. First, every superhero needs another identity when he takes the bag off his head. And the alter ego must be really goofy so no one will suspect. Second proof, how does OG know the answer to all Doug's trivia before Doug says it? They are one and the same. Final proof, no one has ever seen OG and Doug in the basement at the same time. Checkmate.
I think he's on to you.
I was wondering where that was going.
I think he's got you.
It's dead rights.
I think that's it. Yeah. Well, what do you say after that, OG? Huh?
No comment.
Oh,
is
yeah.
What I can say.
That's right. We also get letters to the show. Hope our letters today about how my mom's neighbor Doug is really me. A letter today comes to us from Kayla. Kayla has a question. She says she's been listening to the show for about 2 months now. She's glad she found the podcast. Thanks, Kayla. We're glad you found us too. It's about time that you got here. She's a 5-year-old son. She saves about $1,000 each year in a savings account for him. She's not sure she wants to use a college fund to save. She has a question. What if he doesn't go to college? She's heard of CHET versus 529 versus investing. CHET, OG?
Yep. Connecticut.
Oh,
the Higher Education Trust.
Connecticut.
It's like their prepaid plan.
Yeah. Okay. So the Connecticut plan versus the 529 versus investing. The rising cost of college tuition also makes me feel defeated, like I'll never save enough for his future. Do you have any suggestions on saving for children? Thank you. Wow. We can do a whole hour on that one, OG, but let's get her pointed in the right direction.
Saving for kids. Super exciting. Woo-hoo. Also super challenging.
Right.
Here's the way that I think about that. Firstly, you need to make sure you're taken care of. So you have to have your retirement squared away and be on track for that before you even start worrying about kids and their goals and that sort of thing. But assuming that that's taken care of, I'm pretty sure that $1,000 a year is not going to get you to where you want to go for fully funding college. But again, the compounding nature of saving money, it'll certainly help, right? The CHET plan is a 529 plan. So a 529 plan is just where it's found. When you hear the words 529 or 401k, that's just where it's found in the IRS code. That's how they, you know, classify those things. So CHET, if you live in Connecticut, could be a good option because you get a tax deduction for contributing to it. But again, you've got to use 529 plan, CHET, same thing. You got to use those for college. If you don't, you pay a penalty of 10% plus taxes on the gains. Now, you don't have to use it for your child's college. You can use it for grandchildren or nieces and nephews or your own or any member of extended family. But if you're saving it for the purpose of just saving money, you might also look at like an UGMA account, just a regular Uniform Gift to Minors Act account. Here's the problem with that. At 18, becomes a kid's money. They can do with it as they please. Also affects your FAFSA application a little bit more than just having the account in your name. So a lot of different tools to use depending on the goal you're trying to accomplish, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's really a double-edged sword when it comes to those prepaid plans and also to the 529 plan. Number one is you're dedicated to it, you're going to save for it, and it limits it, meaning that that money will be spent for college, right? I mean, one way or another, it's going to be spent for somebody's college. And even though that's handcuffs, if you look at behavioral economics, handcuffs are sometimes a good thing. So in that way, I like it. And the other way, I'm with her that if her son gets to 18 and college isn't in the picture, then she's got to do some of those workarounds that you talked about.
Yeah. A good option might be to plan on saving for a portion of the college. That way you haven't committed 100% of your income or 100% of the money, so to speak, toward something that may not happen. You know, there's a lot of other scholarship programs and military, all these different places that have options to pay for college. So you might not need the full amount either when you look at those big, scary numbers and their ever increasing price tags.
You and I have talked about this little trick. We haven't talked about it in a long time. She's saving $1,000 a year right now. I'm with you. That's nowhere near enough. I mean, you know, she's got 13 years to go. It's going to be $13,000 plus whatever interest it earns. I've got a child. Both of them get in-state tuition. What's cool is we live right on the border, so we get in-state tuition for Arkansas, even though we live in Texas. My daughter's at the University of Arkansas, and $13,000 is not going to last the
first
year.
Not going to get you home, yeah, even today.
Yeah, might last the first year on a super duper budget plan, but
today. But not in 13 years.
Not in 13 years with the way prices are going up, which is exactly what she was alluding to in her note. So she's got 1 year covered there. Don't try to bite off the whole elephant though, because moving from $1,000, if that's tough for her, to what she really needs to save, you know, I'm talking about 4Xing that, mm-hmm, probably not gonna be able to do that, but maybe $1,000 a year. What's that, about $80 a month? See if, yep, you can make that $100 a month. And then a few months from now, as you're able to maybe work on your budget, go back and listen to some of our budget episodes, then try to make it 110, then try to make it 120. And when you do it a little bit at a time like that, it's almost like we were talking apps earlier, that app Digit, where they take money out of your checking account that you're not going to use, right? The algorithm just figures out what you're not going to use and they take it away. By raising your savings just a little bit every time, you really don't feel it.
Yep. Good idea.
Like that. Thanks a ton for the letter. If you've got a letter for the show, it's joe@stackybenjamins.com. But I'm going to tell you this, and I've said this the last few shows, the Haven Lifeline has been getting toward empty. It's now officially empty. And I will also apologize because when I say that, I get sometimes I get five right away. And then I had somebody recently that wrote to me and said, I thought you said it was empty and now I'm 3 weeks away. It's still way better than the pile of letters that we have. So you can write me a letter, joe@stackandbenjamins.com. But the better thing to do, head to the Haven Lifeline, stackandbenjamins.com/voicemail. And when you go there, it's super easy. You just click a button and you start talking. If your computer has a microphone, you're good to go. And see how easy that was for 2 Timothy to, I don't even think that's a conspiracy theory. I think that's probably the truth. You and Doug, I know you both, and I can't say I've seen the two of you together. So there it is right there.
That might be true.
Yeah. All right. And if you're looking for great financial planning in your quarter, OG's taking clients. And here's how you get on his calendar to talk about what that would take. StackyBenjamins.com/OG. And he'll talk to you about that. What would you call that? A value proposition? He'll talk to you about the value proposition.
It sounds a little more intense than it really is, but okay.
That's right. He'll put you in a headlock.
Yeah.
And
grind you down.
That's right. You can't handle my financial planning. Right. StackyBenjamins.com/OG. Hey, a big thank you to everybody who's left us reviews of the show or they've told friends about the show. It's always gratifying when we see that. And people that have given us shout outs. I've got three special shout outs today, OG, from friends of ours, our friends over at the Paychecks and Balances podcast, Rich and Marcus, who've been on the show. Rich and Marcus just celebrated 1 year podcasting, and you and I know how hard that is to get to 1 year. That is, it's a grind, man. The first year is really tough. So, and not only have they made it, as you know, that show is up there in the rankings, and they definitely have a quality product over at Paychecks and Balances. So congratulations to them.
Yay.
Also, congratulations to our friend Gwen over at Fiery Millennial. Just before Christmas, she told the story about getting fired on Christmas Eve from Toys R Us. And it was just a hilarious thing. And Gwen has been writing about FIRE, which for those of you that don't know what that acronym is, it's Financial Independence Retire Early. So people that want to have a very aggressive approach to getting the heck out of Dodge when it comes to their job, Gwen's somebody writing about that at Fiery Millennials, and she's on her 2-year blog anniversary. And that also is tough, OG, writing consistently for 2 years. But just congratulations to Gwen.
And we know that pain as well.
And for me, that's
you more than me.
That's a bigger pain in the ass than this is. It is. Yeah. Blogging. Oh, that's horrible. And then third, our friend Claudia over at Two Cup House. We talked about Claudia and her husband, Garrett, and how they paid their house off on a round table and got a big discussion going about that on a round table a couple months ago. Well, now they're debt free. Their high watermark, $204,971.31 was their high watermark. They've paid it off. It's gone.
Such money.
It is gone. And we just had Kevin and Aaron Jones on, who also paid off a ton of debt, but maybe we got to have Claudia back. Actually, Claudia hasn't been on the show personally. Got to have Claudia on to talk about how they paid off that much debt because it's an exciting journey that they also had. So congratulations to all those people. Thank you to everybody who's left us a review of the show. We really appreciate it. That's going to do it for today. OG, we'll see you back here on Wednesday. Doug, take it from here, man. It's all yours.
Yeah, Joe, I'm picking up what you're laying down. So what did we learn today? First, check out your local credit union. If you don't think you're eligible, just ask. And if you are a member, maybe it's time to take a tour of all your credit union offers. You'll probably be surprised. Second, thinking about retiring on 70% of your income? Yeah, maybe that'll work, but probably that number isn't accurate for you. It's easier and more effective to just do the actual planning. Plus, you'll be a bunch happier. But the big lesson? It's great to join a credit union, but don't go taking credit for things you didn't actually accomplish. Joe's mom is a tyrant with that soap in the mouth. Just saying. Special thanks to Michelle Thornton from Co-op Financial Services, Katie Miller from Navy Federal Credit Union, and Dave Moody from Alliance Credit Union for joining us on today's show. For more about these institutions, head to our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC. The show is created by Joe Saul Sehi, produced by Richie Rutter Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. And thanks to all our new listeners for hanging in there through this episode. It'll get better, I promise. No, I can't say it with a straight face. Anyway, we'll see you all on Wednesday when we welcome the founders of TheMuse.com, who will share new rules of work. See you then.
Welcome to the after show. This is the part of the show that doesn't exist. What happens in the after show stays in the after show. If you're new to the after show, I cannot get rid of this cough and this little bit of drainage here. But someday I'll have a real voice again and not feel like I'm struggling to talk.
We all don't mind.
Yeah. So here's an uncomfortable story. This is Joe being Joe. You know they had in baseball, you know, Manny being Manny. And yeah, we also, in our family, we have Joe being Joe, where stuff comes out of my mouth. And I remember somebody saying to me once, because you've known me long enough to know that in my personal life, I can barely form coherent sentences. And I've had people say, you've represented a Fortune 500 company in the media for 12 years. And I know you, I can't believe like you would have that job of all people, because the stuff that happens to me. But anyway, here's the latest. Wild Friday night in Texarkana. You know where you go when you want to get wild on Friday night in Texarkana? You
can only imagine.
Longhorn Steakhouse. You know
there you go. Is that the one with the peanuts everywhere?
No, that's
Texas Roadhouse.
Texas Roadhouse, Texas Roadhouse is hilarious. People park on the grass at Texas Roadhouse. And the reason why, because the parking lot's always just packed. Yeah. And the funny thing is that I was talking to my friend Hal about Texas Roadhouse, and I said,
headquartered in?
I said, why is Texas Roadhouse so packed? Why is it packed here? He goes, well, you know, because it's Texas, and we're on the Texas border, and people want to go to Texas Roadhouse. I'm like, you know, that's a chain. And he goes, yeah, but it's Texas, you know, and people want the Texas. I'm like, it's headquartered in Indianapolis. And he's like, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, you go to the Texas Roadhouses that are further north and the parking lot's always half empty, right? But you go to the one Texarkana, and I can't figure out why it's packed. Like,
maybe it's good food.
Well, don't get me wrong. It's not bad, but still Longhorn is right next to it. I think Longhorn's better.
Oh, all right.
They're both
them's fighting words.
They're both franchises. So neither one is phenomenal versus the local stuff where we should have been, but it's right along.
So you're at Longhorn.
Yeah. Yep. Right along the highway. It's easy. Cheryl's like, we got to go before it's Friday night. It's early. It's like 5:30. Let's get in. You can tell we're getting old. Let's get in there before we got to wait in line.
Let's get in there in the blue hair specials at 4:30. That's 4:45. Right. We can still get free sweet tea.
Right. So we said, how do you know us so well? So we sit down and we're having a great conversation. Nobody comes around for a while. Then the waitress comes up and she's standing there. And I can't stop looking at her because she's probably in her early 20s, but she is so absolutely beautiful. And it's funny because she talks to us and I'm trying not to be creepy and I can't stop staring at her, but she walks away and Cheryl turns to me. She goes, she is beautiful. I'm like,
hadn't noticed.
Yeah. No, I, huh? What are you talking about? Right.
What? Who? Who's that? Oh, our waitress? Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, but Cheryl's like, she is just stunning. And I'm like, yeah. So anyway, we go back. We don't even think about it. Then she comes again to...
We don't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Then she comes again to give us our drink order. And once again, you just catch her eye for a second and you're like, it's just unbelievable. And Cheryl says something again. She's like, I didn't.
Real pretty gal.
Yeah. Yeah. Just we're in Texarkana, Texas. You just don't have people that look like that in Texarkana. So anyway,
there goes all our Texarkana listeners.
Yeah. See you, both of you gone. But anyway, she comes to take our order. And Cheryl's asked me ahead of time. She rarely eats steak. And Cheryl says, what's the steak that doesn't really have any fat? And it's really juicy and tender. And I said, that's the filet mignon. By the way, you want to get the small one because of that. They have like different sizes, you know, like 6 ounce and 8 ounce, I think, or maybe 4 ounces. I don't know. But anyway, they have small and everything is by ounces. And I'm going to get the New York strip, right? Been looking at this thing and they've got a 12 ounce and an 18 ounce. I'm like, oof. Who the 18 ounces of steak?
Come on, go big, baby.
Oh, I can't do it. I can't flip and do it. So Miss Texarkana comes back to the table and she turns to Cheryl. What would you like to eat? And Cheryl said, I'd like the filet mignon, the 6 ounce and the side of asparagus or whatever. And she turns to me and I look up at her and I said, I'd like the 12 inch. And Cheryl immediately says, in your dreams, 12 inches?
Just totally threw you under the bus, huh?
Just totally. And my face is already red because I'm like, 12 ounce, 12 ounce. It was so bad. It was so damn bad.
In your dreams, Grandpa.
More like a solid 4.5. Anyway, so the waitress is the server's turning red. My face is bright. Look at me. My face is bright red.
You're bright red right now telling this story.
Cheryl is laughing her head off. What a freaking nightmare. It was unbelievable. So that was our hilarious Friday night.
So now you're banned from Longhorn.
Yeah, I can't go back there. Restraining order in effect.
They're like, I'm sorry, Joe. We're just going to have to serve you in a doggy bag from now on. You can get takeout, but only if we walk into your car.
If you could stand 25 yards away from the entry point, sir, that would be great. And server Maggie is, she's not working this shift. Yeah. That's very funny. Anyway. Well, all right.
Funny for you. We'll see. Embarrassing as heck for her, I imagine.
Yeah, I think for all involved, except Cheryl, who apparently got a kick out of it. All right, we'll see everybody next time.